Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We're going to look to the Lord in prayer now. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently in thy presence this evening and through that name that is above all other names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee afresh for our Saviour. We thank thee for the love of God that sent his dear Son into this world to die upon that cross, that guilty, hell-deserving sinners such as I may have that opportunity of having salvation in and through that precious shed blood. We do thank thee and praise thee for the gospel. We do rejoice this night that it is the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We thank thee, O God, this night that salvation, it is full and it is free. We thank thee that salvation is still on offer today. This is the day of the Lord. And this is a day whenever we can come and have our sins forgiven. And O God, we thank thee for the opportunity once again to gather together and to have this time to fellowship around thy word. We do rejoice that the word of God is the infallible truth. We thank thee and praise thee this night that each and every word in the scriptures, it is from God and it is perfect. We do pray that as we open up the book and as we read it together and as the Reverend Armstrong will come and minister from thy word, that thou wilt bless it to each and to every heart. We do look for that help from on high once again. We claim the power of the Holy Spirit for each and every one who has a part to play in this service. That as we sing the hymns together, as we read thy word and the time of preaching, that we will know the blessing and the power of God upon us this night. We do pray for thy word as it goes forth, that it will have that place in each and every heart this night. We do pray for everyone that will hear the message of the gospel, that if there be any unsaved, that this will be the time of their salvation. We do pray that thou wilt come and be with us, and come and bless us now, in the name and for the glory of thy dear Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read some verses from John's Gospel and the chapter 3. We're going to read the opening 7 verses, and then we're going to move down to the verse number 14. Let's hear the word of the Lord. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. And then the verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. We're now going to sing the wonderful hymn, And Can It Be That I Should Gain?
Bible says in John chapter 3 and the verse 16, words that I would like to leave with you at this point in our service. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The story is told from the early 1950s in Louisville, Kentucky, in the United States of America. That little 12-year-old boy had his bicycle stolen. He became very angry at having lost what was his most prized possession. And as a result, he made the comment that if he caught the individual who had stolen his bicycle, he would beat them up. The man to whom he spoke retorted by saying that if he was going to start beating up people, he should learn to box, firstly. And that's what the little boy did. He went into the boxing ring and he learned to box. And Cassius Clay, the sportsman, was born. It soon became clear that he would excel in the ring, demonstrating a talent for the sport that very few others ever demonstrated. Such was his progress through the amateur ranks that he was chosen to represent the United States of America in the Rome Olympics in 1960, where he fought in the light heavyweight division and he won the gold medal. Cassius Clay turned professional a short time later. He moved up to the heavyweight division and he won the world title aged 22, one of the youngest men ever to do so. Around the same time, he changed his name to Muhammad Ali. And he went on to become arguably the most recognizable sportsman of all time. Muhammad Ali's trademark statement was, "I am the greatest." And for a time in his chosen career, that was certainly the case. But sadly, Ali didn't remain the greatest. Because as age began to catch up with him, other men came through the ranks that were able to defeat him in the ring, and his greatness began to wane. You must understand that the crown of even the greatest soon begins to slip. The greatest of men can no longer hold on to their greatness. Muhammad Ali succumbed to a debilitating illness, and after years of infirmity, sadly, he died on the 3rd of June 2016, aged 74. And therein is proof that in this world, being the greatest, even if that accolade is ever attained, only lasts for a short period of time. Even the greatest and their greatness must pass away. But here is a text in John chapter 3 and the verse 16 that speaks of a different type of greatness. True greatness. Genuine greatness. A greatness that exceeds every other type of greatness. A greatness which lasts the test of time. It's the greatness or the greatest aspect of this text that I would like you to think about in this service. Firstly, you will discover here the greatest love. Because the Word of God says, "For God so loved the world." In life, it's possible to experience many different types of love. There's a love between a man and a woman in marriage. There's a different type of love between parents and their children, or between brothers and sisters. These loves are to a different degree from that which you might expect to have for your pet or for some other activity. We all have the ability to love. We all have the ability to be loved on many different levels. Vincent van Gogh said, "The way to know life is to love many things." But of course, not all love is wholesome and good. There are illicit loves. For example, the Lord said to his people that we are not to love the world. So such a love is obviously detrimental to our spiritual well-being. But this text speaks of a love that surpasses every other love. It is the love of God towards humanity. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 8 that God is love. Someone has called this probably the greatest single statement about God in the whole Bible. That statement that God is love expresses the Lord's heart. It communicates the secrets of his glorious person. It is the key which opens to us all the wonder and mystery of the Lord's dealings with us. The Lord loves all of his creatures, all the animal creation. He loves the angels in heaven, but his greatest love is reserved for you and me, for humanity. Remember that when life is difficult and the storms blow and you wonder how you're going to get through, behind it all is a heart of love. You might not be able always to trace that love or really comprehend what that love is doing, but it's there nonetheless. That God's love is the greatest love of all is seen in the person who bestows it, because it is bestowed upon us from the Lord Almighty himself. The degree of God's love is seen in this text also, because the Bible says that God so loved the world. It's almost as if human language is struggling to put it into words. He so loves you. Again, if you consider this text in John 3:16, you will discover the greatest gift, because the Word of God says that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Here is love in action. It's been said that the degree of loving is measured in the degree of giving. And never was that more true than in the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. In speaking of the giving of Christ, I'm highlighting his coming to earth and his death upon the cross at Calvary, because the Lord Jesus Christ was given to man that he might die for man's sin. What is sin? Sin is the breaking of God's law as outlined in the Ten Commandments. And the Bible says that we have all sinned. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 12, all have sinned. That verse also highlights the consequence of sin, because it maintains that death passed upon all men. Many an hour has been spent trying to fathom as to why people grow old and die. There is no doubt medical and scientific evidence as to the process of death, as to what happens to make us die. But why do we age in the first place? Why does the body eventually cease to function? What's the cause of it all? Well, the scriptural answer is that we die because we have all broken the law of God. The Lord said to Adam and Eve at the beginning of time that if they would partake of the forbidden fruit, that they would die. And by implication, their offspring would die also. And that's what happened. But the consequence of sin is not merely physical or temporal death. It's also eternal. The Lord Jesus died that individuals might not suffer the eternal and the everlasting consequences of their sin, because in dying on the cross, he took the sinner's place. You'll remember what Isaiah 53 and the verse 5 says concerning Christ, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The word transgression indicates a violation or a breaking of the law of God. The word iniquities demonstrates how the Lord looks upon that violation. It is iniquity in his eyes, in his sight. It makes a person guilty before him. It is a most serious thing to sin in the Lord's eyes. In Christ's death at Calvary, he became my substitute. You know what a substitute is from the sporting arena, someone who takes another's place. So the Lord Jesus took my place and died as a consequence of my sin. But he didn't merely die physically. He died bearing the wrath of God that should have been poured out upon me eternally. That's why God the Father gave him. He gave him to death. He gave him to the cross. He gave him to suffering. He gave him to be a sin bearer. He wasn't compelled to hand him over. No, the Lord gave his Son, Jesus Christ, out of love to my soul. He didn't sell him to mankind. He gave him as a gift. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse 15 calls Christ God's unspeakable gift. There never was a gift like this. The gift of Christ. The greatest deliverance also is found in this text, because the Word of God here pinpoints that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. To perish is to be eternally punished in hell. Of course, the Bible clearly teaches such a punishment for those who die in their sins, or if you like, are guilty of having sinned against God at the point of their death. The Lord Jesus spoke in Matthew 23 and the verse 33 of the damnation of hell. To perish is to be cast into that place called hell. But this text speaks of not perishing, so that there are those who do not perish when they die. The verse defines them as those who believe in him. The him, of course, is the Lord Jesus, the one who was gifted by the Father to die for sinners. And the verse speaks of believing in him. That is, the individual trusting that Christ died on the cross to pay for his or for her sin. They believe that the Savior bore their punishment, and that he performed everything required to appease the wrath of God toward them. In other words, they believe that Christ died for their sin. The Scripture describes this also as exercising faith in Christ. They realize that they have sinned. They realize the consequences of their sin, everlasting punishment, and they fear those consequences. They desire to be free from those consequences, and sincerity, they cry to the Lord for mercy, realizing that they deserve nothing but eternal punishment. And the Lord says that the individual who does that should not perish. They're delivered from sin's punishment. They're saved, to use another scriptural term. This deliverance, it just isn't some sort of a fire escape from the wrath of God. No, it's much more than that. This deliverance brings everlasting life. That's what the Bible says in our text. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here is blessing added to blessing. To be delivered from eternal punishment in this scriptural way is to be set on the road to heaven. John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress pictured the chief character, Pilgrim, leaving the city of destruction and making his way to the celestial city, to heaven. That's where every soul who rests on the work of Jesus Christ will go at their death. It is Christ alone who takes people to heaven. There's only one heaven. Only one place of everlasting life. Only one paradise, as the Lord Jesus described it to the dying thief. And there's only one way to get there, and that's by Christ, the Lord's only Savior and the only hope of the soul. But you might ask me then, well, who can be saved? And again, this verse gives the answer, because it refers to the whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the greatest scope. The word whosoever is so wide that it includes you. This salvation of which I'm speaking, this everlasting life, is yours for the taking. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what sin you have committed. You can know the joy of sins forgiven. The Bible speaks in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, of being cleansed from all sin. That word all is inclusive as to the type of sin that you committed. That word all is inclusive as to the totality of your sin being forgiven. Every single sin. Elizabeth Barrett lived in England many years ago. She was something of a genius, As far as writing was concerned, by the age of 12, she already had 4 books of poetry published. At the age of 15, she met with a terrible accident, and it seemed as if she would never walk again. For the next 25 years of her life, her overbearing and dominant father refused her any sort of normal life whatsoever. In fact, he imprisoned her. He forbade her from marrying. She had a miserable existence until she met a man by the name of Robert Browning. Eventually, by his encouragement, she started to walk again. And she eventually then fled away from the family home with him, married him, and as a couple they moved to Italy. The warmer climes helped her greatly, and very soon she was back to full health and strength again. Almost every week she penned a letter to her parents, telling how much she loved them and asking for a reconciliation. After 10 years she received a package from England. And in that package was every single letter that she had written. Not one of them had been opened. The Lord, in this text, tells you of his love. He desires that you would be reconciled to him by repenting of your sin. You must make the decision as to what you're going to do with him. Will you receive him? Or will you, like Elizabeth Barrett Browning's parents, refuse even to acknowledge what is offered to you? Muhammad Ali said, "I am the greatest." Don't refuse Christ. If you do, you're rejecting and refusing the greatest opportunity of your life. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we ask thy blessing upon thy word for Christ the Savior's sake. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.